Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I hope you're expecting something from the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Colossians, if you're staying with me, please. Chapter 1. Verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And ye that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded yourself, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. In the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You say amen to God's words. Amen. I wasn't planning on reading all that. I'm not going to preach all that. I just can't find a really good place to stop. That's good. God's word is good there, amen. Now, I want to go back just to verse 9. I want to share out verse 9. And for this cause, we since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Amen. You can be seated. God's good to us, church. God's blessed us abundantly. Here, Paul gives a lot of praise to the church. Of course, he's writing this letter too. He has a lot of good things to say about them. You'll notice here in the beginning of the chapter, he starts out in verse 2 and talks about to the saints and faithful brother in Christ, which are Colossians. Grace be unto you. He refers to them first of their being saints, and also of them being faithful to the work of the Lord. Faithful brother in Christ. And he talks about how, verse 3, he gives thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for them always. And verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which you have to all the saints, Paul again is continuing to brag about this church and how they have faith in Christ, and they are obviously of the love which they have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard it. Notice in verse 6, it bringeth forth fruit, and it does also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And also he talks about verse 7, as you also learned of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Notice verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Paul has a lot of good things to say about this church as he begins his letter to them, and with all the good things he begins to say to them about them, then he goes right into verse 9 and tells them, because of all these good things, because of the love you have, the faithfulness, and the things that you have established already, he tells them, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He's the place of prayer for them, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul, after he speaks to them and talks about all the good things that they are doing, he basically, like this written all word, he's telling them that that's not good enough. That's not a stopping point. You've got a lot of good things established, but you've got to go on. You've got some more things you need to work for, some more things you need to strive for. You've got some of the basics down now. I'm praying for you that you will increase, that you'll go forward. Paul could stop the letter there, and he doesn't step on bragging about it, how good they are doing, how faithful they are, and how much love is in the church. But that's how he realizes that's not good enough. You gotta keep on going, church. You gotta keep pressing forward. A lot of times we must be careful, our church, and ourselves, that we'll feel like it as a body that we have reached the top. When we have reached our comments that we put in church, we can't go any farther. We can't go any further. I mean, if Paul was to write to us, he probably could write to us, and he could say a lot of good things. these things. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Go over to 1 Corinthians for me, please. Second chapter. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice down in verse 11. For what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirits of God. Let me back up and read a little bit, verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Only thing you can know about about yourself, I can't know what's in your heart. I can't know what you're thinking right now. Now, I can maybe look on your face and get some ideas. You're sleepy, you're tired, you wish you could go to sleep. Maybe, I don't know. I can't know exactly what's in your heart right now. What you're thinking? Except you. You know that. That's what Paul tells us in that verse there. He tells us in verse 11, but what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You. You know what you're thinking. I can't. I don't know what's thinking right now. I don't know what's in your heart right now. Even if all the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, he's telling us. We know. We have trust and believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that unity they have. The spirit knows the Father. They work in such unity. They have such communion. The spirit is not going to do something contrary to what the Father would want. Or vice versa. Of course, he's not going to do something contrary to the others.
With you. He will be patient. He will take his time. He will work with us. But when you lose that desire, he can't
can't do nothing for you. He can't do nothing. So he's telling us that we be filled with all knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understandings. We need to know what God, the knowledge of his will, we need to know what God requires of us, church. Then he tells us in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then we need to know how to apply it. How do we apply what God requires of us? And he tells us, and that's what he's trying to tell the church of Christ, you need to know what it is, and then you need to know how. He tells us in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom, you need to know now how to apply what God has revealed to you. When God's word instructs you on whatever it may be in life, now you need to know also, how do I apply this to my everyday things of life? To the problems I may face, to the things I may come up against. How do I apply it? How do I use these things? How do I know? God reveals his knowledge and his will to me. Now I need to know how to apply it. He tells us we need to apply this. We're talking about in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It deals with applying it to things in our lives. We need to know now how to use it. I can give you a tool, but you don't know how to use it. It's not going to do no good. I mean, you can give me a computer, and if I don't know much about it, I can't accomplish much. But you take a man who knows a lot about it, I mean, he can do all kinds of things with that computer. Because he knows how to apply the knowledge that he has. We can sit here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Bible study after Bible study, and have it teach to us week in, week after week. And we can be some good teachers. I mean, God can reveal some things in his word. I mean, we can really dig out some deep things. But then if we don't know how to use it Monday through Saturday out there, or in our marriages, or our jobs, or whatever, it's accomplished nothing. So what Paul's telling us, you need to know what it is, and then you need to know how to apply it. How to apply these things. God instructs me, I need to do this. God instructs me, this is how I need to live. God instructs me, this is how an attitude I need to have. God instructs us all kinds of things. Now we need a spirit to help us to apply it to our everyday lives. Not just know it. You can be the most intelligent theologian in God's words. And I've seen people like this. Teachers. But then they don't know how to use it in their own lives. They don't know how to use it in their own everyday lives. That's fast. It can be preached, it can be preached. We can heed out, we can know how to write the body and everything. And it'll do us no good if we don't apply it. So he tells us, what I'm praying for you is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you know what the Lord requires of us, and that you then know how to apply it to your life. The Bible tells us, love our enemies. How do I do that? What's the guidelines that the Lord gives us in his word? How do we do that? That's where you're really getting down to the rubber meets the road, but Al says, you can know it says that, but how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I love my neighbor who's playing rock and roll all the time, out there on Sunday afternoons, and we need to go and all this? How do I love my neighbor? The Bible says to do it, but how do I apply that? God doesn't want you to know that he wants you to do that. He wants you to apply it. He wants you to know how to do it. How do I love him? That do me wrong, that hate me, that despise me, that do all kinds of things against me. How do I love him? How do I do these things? It's not just to know God wants you to do it. How do I apply it? How do I do these things? So Paul instructs us to know these things. He's got, I'm sorry, I might be dragging. Let me move along here. Verse 10. He goes on, and his prayer continues that we might walk worthy of the Lord. It's all pleasing. That we might walk worthy of the Lord. It's all pleasing. The Lord wants us, church. He wants us to be filled with his knowledge. He wants us to use that knowledge. God wants us to walk worthy of the Lord. We're Christians. We're children of God. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set free from the powers of darkness. Now he's telling us you need to walk worthy of that. You've got a high calling, church. You've got a high calling. It's not just a little simple conversion that you've been allowed to be a member of some Boy Scout or some small organization. No. You have been bought. You have been brought into the body of Christ. You have been bought, church. You've been allowed to be a part of his body. It's a high calling, he tells us here. And now he's instructing us to walk worthy of that. Walk worthy of that. You're carrying the name. Walk worthy of that name. You've been set representing Jesus Christ. Walk worthy of that, he's telling us. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Notice all pleasing there. God wants everything we do to be pleasing to him. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. We might get this into our Sunday school class. I haven't looked that far ahead, but we might have already done it. We have. Notice verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, and he should not see death. And was not found, because God had translated him before... before he... Let me back up. By faith, Enoch was translated, and he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That was his testimony. That would be something that you would write if he was to die on his death, on his tombstone. He pleased God. That was what he was known for. That he pleased God. Not that he did this, or he was able to do that, or he did this. His testimony was, he pleased God. And Paul writes back in Colossians and tells us that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Just as he had that testimony, he pleased God. Paul's telling the church that you need to walk in that same manner. You need to be able to, for people to see in your life that what you want to do, your goal in life is to please God. Not try to fulfill selfish needs. Not try to fulfill selfish wants. But that you wanted to please God in everything that you did. And he tells us that we ought to be fruitful in every good work. Be fruitful in every good work, church, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Church, we need to be fruitful in every good work. This is Paul's prayer to them. We don't just need to be doing work just to say we've done work. We need some fruit out of it, church. Whatever we do, we need to be fruitful in it. If it's our revivals, our camp meetings, and things like that, let's be fruitful. Let's have a desire that we ought to produce fruit. I think in our jobs and everything we do, we need to do the best we can. We need to be pleasing to God in these areas. And things we do, we want to produce fruit. Now, sometimes, church, people may not get saved, but you're still producing fruit. You agree?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Noah, he built an ark to save his household. That's all he saved. That's all he was saved. It was his house, his home, his family. But he could give the whole world. He gave the whole world by what he did, church. That's a type of fruit. It may not be the fruit we like, but it's a result from the labor. And that's what we need. I don't want that so much can give people. I want some of the good fruit. We see people are converted and things like that. But whatever work we do, church, we need to have a desire to produce fruit. We need to be a church that has a hunger to see fruit, church. Fruit. If we don't have fruit, we'll die. If we don't have good results, we won't die. Or we won't make it. You won't give up. You won't quit. But when you see results, It's encouraging for you to go on. It'll help you to go on. So we need that, church. We need to increase and be fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God. Notice verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and all suffering and joyfulness. Paul writes in here, and he uses this word strengthen with all might, and then he goes down in the middle of that verse and says, unto all patience, long suffering, and joyfulness. This word strengthen, this phrase here, and where he deals with unto all patience, very close vigilance. But this word strengthen means fortitude. Fortitude. He tells us, strengthen with all might. And I put it this way, it's, in my own terminology, it's almost like first cousins of patience. Just a little bit of difference. Fortitude. With all might. Now, what Paul is telling us here, you need to be strong in the sense that you can forbear things that life is going to bring to you. Life's going to bring a lot of difficult times. Life's going to bring a lot of disappointments. Life's going to bring a lot of struggles. And he's telling us, what Paul is telling us here, this person who has this fortitude is a person who can withstand it. He can stand up to that pressure. But not only that, can he stand up to it, he can take that situation and he can turn it into something good. He can turn it into something good. We can look at Brother John and Sister Judy. Their house being flooded. Bad situation. Bad. I mean, that's a terrible thing to see water start coming up through your floor in your house and just seeing things starting to get destroyed. That's terrible. But they're able to take situations like that and withstand the pressure. I'm sure they had some times. I'm sure Sister Judy shed some tears. I don't doubt that one bit. I would have. I mean, I cried when my office burnt down. Just the personal things I lost. I'm sure they had some struggles there. But they was able to take those things and turn them around to glorify God. They was able to stand and testify how God helped them through those things. How God provided. How God made a way. And that's the type of person, that's what God, Paul is writing to us when he uses this word here, strengthened with all might. That's a person who can take a situation. It can be a family problem. Children not getting along or whatever. It could be a lot of different things in life. And that person can take that situation and say, just crumbling under the pressure of it, can take that situation and with the wisdom of God and of his spirit, can turn that into something good. Because notice in the verse, he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might. This person is, has a fortitude. He has that strength that he can take something bad, withstand it, bear under it, seek God, and see it turn into something good. Because notice in the next line, he says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. In other words, when that problem comes, that person just don't crumble. That person is strong. He stands it. He withstands the pressure. And then according to whose power? According to his glorious power. Not necessarily the person himself, but the spirit working through that person. He's able to take the situation that's bad and turn it into something good. That's what Paul's writing to that church. Church, you've got a lot of good things going for you. You're doing a lot of good things. You need to know the knowledge of his will. You need to be able to stand under the pressures. It's going to come to you. Persecution's going to come to you. You need to be able to be strong under them and take those situations and turn them into something good by his power. Depend on his spirit. Let God work in your life and take a bad situation and turn it into something good. That's what Paul's telling. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Can I just put it this way? We don't need spiritual wimps. The world will destroy you. The world will destroy you. You need to be able to stand under the pressures of life going to come and turn them into something good. Turn them into something good. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. Now here, again, very close meaning unto all patience. That person who is strengthened with all might, that person who can withstand the difficult times, he's going to be a patient person. Destruction comes, he's going to be patient. Something may happen, he's going to be a patient person. The first part of that verse is dealing with a lot of times with things of life that happen. When you get down to the second part of the verse, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, he's beginning now to deal with people. This person here, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, this is a person who has patience with people. That could be one of the hardest things. It could be one of the hardest things. I even see Jesus Christ with his disciples. You know, day after day, he's teaching them and training them. And they just start grasping a hold of it. And he finally shouts, how long am I going to be with you? How long? Why aren't you getting a hold of this? Aren't you glad God's patient with us? Praise God. If God had our patience, we wouldn't make it. Amen. But God's a patient God. And he works with us. And this is a person who can take someone. And he can be patient with them. And that person may do all kinds of things. Might say all kinds of things. Might have all kinds of problems. But that person, he may be lashed out. But he's going to be patient. He's not going to give up on that person. He's not going to give up on that new convert. New converts come. You got to be patient, church. Amen. You got a lot to learn. And you may think, why haven't you got a hold of this yet? Well, you've been saved for 30 years. They've been saved for 3 weeks. Come on. You got to be patient. You know what I'm saying? But that person is patient. And he goes on a little farther than that. And even though the struggle's there, he don't give up. He's patient with them. He tells them also that they need to be patient and long-suffering. You're going to have to be long-suffering. They may speak all kinds of things about you. They may do all kinds of things. But you're going to have to be long-suffering, he tells us. He's dealing with two kinds of patience here. He's dealing with those who are fortunate, who are strong, who can take things in life, and can take them and make them something good. He's dealing with a person who's patient with his brothers, his sisters, or whoever it may be. And he's going to be patient with them. He's not going to give up on them. He's going to be long-suffering with them. He may not understand them. He may not understand anything about them, but he's just going to be patient with them. And he tells us he's going to be long-suffering. There's a lot of things that us elders may preach to you. You may think, come on, what are you preaching that for? That's too much. Be patient with us. Amen? Be patient with us. Don't just write us off. Think about it. Be long-suffering. We'll be long-suffering with you. Amen? It works both ways. See what I'm saying? That's a person who can be patient. You may not like somebody, the way they act, the way they do, what they say, how they say it. But I want to be patient with them. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to spit on you. I want to back up. There must be something going on today. I see people speaking. I know you want the news, not the weather. Amen. Sorry about that. Praise God. You understand? See, buddy, he's being patient with me. Amen. That's okay. Amen. Where was I? We saw my patience. Amen. We got to be patient, sir, with each other. Amen. You know? It's not so much, you know, something's preached to you, it might be hard. Let's just be patient about it. Let's think on it. Let's study that. Let's be long-suffering one with another. And it uses one more word there, joyfulness. Can you be patient and keep the joy? Can you be patient with me and be joyous? Amen?
Right.
Can you be patient with your other brothers or sisters and have the joy?
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That's what for mature Christians. That's for people who really love God and want the truth.
Yep.
People who are just lukewarm, they're not going to have this. People who don't have the love of God, they're not going to have the joy and keep the patience. Because your patience is going to be tried. And you're going to struggle. Amen. Let me hurry along here. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I close with that. We have, church, a great inheritance that God has given us. We have something, church. We are partakers of this inheritance, church. This is something the Lord has given us, and he tells us to rejoice and give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of this. It's made us to be parts of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Paul writes to us, let me just, in closing, rehearse. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let's not be ignorant Christians. Let's know what God requires of us, church. In wisdom and spiritual understanding, let's be a church that can take God's word and be able to apply it to our lives. How do we do this? I'm in a situation, so-and-so at work is doing this, or my boss don't really understand this, or my wife don't understand this, or my husband, or children, whatever. God, I need to know the knowledge of your will, and I need to know how to apply it. How do I act in this situation? We need to know that, church. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. It's all pleasing. Can you say that? His testimony was he pleased God. Be fruitful in every good work. Let's just don't try to get by. Let's produce fruits. Let's just don't go out of this half-hearted. If you go out that way, you're not going to have any good results. If you don't be in this thing, put it all that you got into it. And let's have some fruits. Let's have some fruit, church. Let's see the power of God demonstrate it. Then he tells us, be fruitful in every good work. Strengthen, be fortified. Take bad situations, and according to his glorious power, turn them into something good. Be patient. Take bad situations with people, and be patient. Be long-suffering, and keep the joy. Keep a joyous spirit. That's what he tells us here, church. And give thanks. If we ever become a church that's not thankful, we might as well close the door. We might as well close the door, church. Amen. This is a little simple message I want to share with you. We may think we got it all together. Let's compare ourselves with this. Let's all compare ourselves with a church down the road, on the TV, or wherever. I want to please God according to his knowledge. Not to what some TV evangelist is preaching to me. He'll lead you astray, amen? Let's stand this afternoon. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us today, Lord, and the blessings, God, you bestowed upon us. God, help us, Lord. God, the things that we preach here this afternoon, Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us, Lord, to be strong. God, help us to be filled with your knowledge of your will. God, help us, Lord Jesus. God, help us to be strong saints. Help us to be fruitful saints, God. Help us, Lord, I pray, Jesus Christ, that you help us today, God. God, that we would rejoice in you, Lord, that we have the joy in our hearts, Lord. Help us, oh God, I pray, Father, God, to be thankful, Lord, for what you've given to us, Lord. God, help us to always compare ourselves to your word, God. Help us, Lord, to grow, God, to be a church that produces fruits. Help us, Lord, to be long suffering, God, to be patient, God. Help us to be strong, Lord. Help us, oh God, that whatever may come to us tomorrow and the weeks to come, Lord. God, it's the precious of life, God, that we can stand, that we can be strong, Lord. God, that we won't crumble for the powers of the enemy, Lord. And we can take every situation, and we can turn it into good for your name's sake, Lord. We give you praise. I ask you, God, to be with each one this week, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a fruitful week. God, I pray, Lord, in the things and labors that we must do this week, I ask God that you just help us, Lord, to accomplish much, to glorify you, Lord, in everything. I pray, God, that you just keep your hand upon us, Lord, and they will be traveling, God, this week, and back to their homes, Lord, and the distance they got to travel, Lord. I ask you, God, to keep your hand upon them, Lord. God, you've been doing that for years, Lord, and I don't want to take it for granted, Lord. I want to thank you for it, Lord. I pray, God, that you just meet their needs, Lord. I ask you in your name, amen. Praise God.